ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् नाकस्य पृष्ठमभि संवसानो वैष्णवीम् लोक इह मादयन्ताम् कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः छांदोग्य उपनिषद belongs to Samaveda. In the last class, I just introduced why Chandogya Upanishad is called Chandogya Upanishad. So, Chandaha means Veda. Last class I said three meanings of the word Chandas. One meaning is meter, another meaning is Veda, another meaning is very mantra. A mantra is also known as Chandas. Veda Shastram is also, entire Veda is also known as Chandas. Any given mantra in the Veda is also called Chandas. And a particular meter is also called Chandas. And here, the Chandas here means the Veda. And what Veda here? Sama Veda. And Sama means music. And Rig Veda mantras set to music, set to tunes is what? Sama Veda. So here, the Chando Gaha, the Gaha means one who resides. One who recites the Sama mantra is called Chando Gaha. Therefore, Chando Gaha means Sama Vedi. The one who has given study of the Sama Veda, and Chandogya Upanishad means the Upanishad belonging to the Sama Vedi. So Sama Vediya Upanishad, Upanishad of Sama Veda is called Chandogya Upanishad. That's all. And we have, there is a Sama Veda Shanti Pataha. Like for every Veda we have a Shanti Pata. And here also we have Shanti Pata. What is that? Let us read this once and we enter into the class. For so Kena Upanishad and this Chandogya Upanishad belong to the same Veda. Therefore, same Shanti. Om Aapyayanto Aapyayanto Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramatho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranamastu
Anirakaranamastu
Anirakaranam me astu
Anirakaranam me astu
Anirakaranamastu Anirakaranam me astu
Anirakaranam
me astu Anirakaranamastu Mastvanirakaranam me astu Mastvanirakaranam me astu తదాత్మని నిరతే తదాత్మని నిరతే య ఉపనిషత్సు య ఉపనిషత్సు ధర్మాస్తే మయి సంతు తే మయి సంతు తే మయి సంతు ఓం శాంతి 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 శాంతి. లైక్ ఎనీ శాంతి పాఠ అండ్ దిస్ శాంతి పాఠ ఆల్సో a peace invocation wherein we seek invoke the grace of Bhagavan to ward off all the obstacles rising from three different sources in terms of adhyatmika tapaha adi bhautika tapaha and adi daivika tapaha. So, obstacles rising from three different sources: one's own self, anybody, anything other than oneself, and the natural crisis, calamities. There are only three sources of obstacles. Therefore, all the obstacles rising from these three different sources need to be removed, eliminated, so that there won't be we can pursue our knowledge without any obstacles. That's why peace invocation is done in the very beginning of the study, in every class also. And here, we pray for the physical fitness and also emotional well-being, because very important for us to be physically healthy and mentally also to be free from worries, so that we can focus and understand, retain, no, assimilate. For everything, Shastra study needs a total attention here. That's why here, the first prayer itself, what? I'm not elaborating on the meaning, because I've already done this meaning when I did Kena before. For Aapyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshu shrotramatho balam indriyani cha sarvani. One sentence, what? Is a very important prayer. If you don't know how to pray to Bhagavan, you can just say, Aapyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshu shrotramatho balam indriyani cha sarvani. One sentence, may all my limbs be strong, hale and healthy. Mamangani. Then, not only physical limbs be strong, hale and healthy, all my the instruments of knowledge and the instruments of actions in terms of power, karmendriyani and jnanendriyani, all of them are mentioned, listed here, but still there are vak, pranas, chakshu, shrotram, atha, okay? Indriya, balam, indriya, vak, pranas, chakshu, shrotram, atho, balam, indriyani, cha, sarvani, may all my instruments be in good condition. Okay, which means let them be strong, health and healthy. All my powers of organs of actions, all my powers of all my sense organs, all my limbs, may all of them be healthy, strong and in good conditional, functional, properly functional. ఆప్యాయంతు మమాంగాని వాక్ ప్రాణస్ చక్షు శ్రోత్రమథో బలమింద్రియాణి చ సర్వాణి. దెన్ సర్వం బ్రహ్మోపనిషదం. సో సర్వం బ్రహ్మ, బికాజ్ వి నీడ్ షార్ప్ ఇంటలెక్ట్, స్టేబుల్ మైండ్, హెల్తీ బాడీ టు పర్స్యూ నాలెడ్జ్, to study the Shastram, to understand, to read and to assimilate. Why? Because the fact revealed by the Upanishad is what? Sarvam Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. Is the fact what? Upanishadic fact revealed by the Upanishad. sarvam brahma upanishadam. Because assimilation of this fact, understanding of this fact is what? Is in fact our freedom. Our end. Sarvam brahma upanishadam. Maham brahma nirakuryam. So may I not keep away from Brahman, reject Brahman, ignore Brahman. What does it mean? How can you reject Brahman? No, may I not be deprived of the knowledge of Brahman. May not reject Brahman is literal meaning. How can you reject Brahman? Brahman is very yourself, isn't it? So when they say ma aham brahma nirakuryam means literally what is the meaning? May I not reject Brahman. But what is the actual meaning? May I not, may not miss, may I not be deprived of knowledge of Brahman. So may I be committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth. May not miss this. Because the entire human life is a very precious life. Our span of life, ordained by Bhagavan, is a very precious span of time. We don't know, is it? The span of life itself, how many years? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years? How long? What is the span of life ordained by Bhagavan for us? In this span of life, how many years have already gone? How many years later on we'll be fit enough to be able to study? Therefore, this very precious time, may I not reject Brahman means, may I not keep away from the Brahman. How? May not keep away from study of the Shastram, may not give up our pursuit of knowledge of the truth. So may I be totally committed to the pursuit of the knowledge. May I be blessed with the knowledge of Brahman. So being blessed with the knowledge of reality Brahman is called what? May I not reject Brahman. Okay. Maham brahma nirakuryam. Maham brahma nirakuryam. See, by not studying the Shastram, not having Shastra study as a priority, and also what? Not being inclined for the knowledge of the truth, not being interested in the knowledge of the truth, is what? Actually rejecting Brahman. So here, may I not do that? May I be committed to the pursuit of knowledge and may I be able to study the Shastram so that may I be blessed with knowledge of truth, Brahman. Maham brahma nirakuryam. Ma brahma nirakarot. Here, may Brahman not reject me. What does it mean again? Brahman will never reject you. So may I not be deprived of the knowledge of the truth. Okay? May I not be deprived of the knowledge of the truth. So may I be plus the knowledge of the truth. Same thing said in two different ways. Ma brahma nirakarot. May have all grace of Bhagavan that so that I can commit myself to the pursuit of commitment to study of the Shastram and may be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, I'll be blessed with the knowledge of the truth. So maham brahma nirakuryam, ma brahma nirakarot, anirakaranam astva nirakaranam me astu. So anirakaranam astu, anirakaranam astu means what? Let there not be rejection on my part. Let there not be rejection on the part of Brahman, which means may I not keep myself away from the Shastra study. May I not, keep away from the pursuit of knowledge, and may I not be deprived of knowledge of the truth. You mean what? May I be blessed with knowledge of the truth. So, actually, may I be blessed with the knowledge of the truth. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of the truth. Please bless me with the knowledge of the truth. No, nothing in the world, nothing in my life should come in the way in my pursuit of knowledge. So, may I not be deprived of the knowledge of the truth, may be blessed with knowledge of the truth. This actual prayer repeatedly said in different ways. Maham brahma nirakuryam, mama brahma nirakarot, anirakaranam astva nirakaranam me astu. Repetition is for emphasizing our prayer. We are very emphatic. We say only once, it is not a serious prayer. If you repeat many times, it's a very serious, intense, fervent prayer. Oh, please, I know, I don't want to be deprived of the knowledge of the truth. I want to be blessed with the knowledge of the truth. It emphasizes the seriousness. Okay, that's why, anirakaranam astva nirakaranam me astu. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmas te mayi santu. Temayi santu. The next prayer is, may have assimilated the vision of the scriptures. That's the actual prayer. How it is said, that's implied prayer there. He may all the values, all the disciplines, the way of life, and the nature of the reality, the vision of the truth, which is revealed in the Shastram, become assimilated by me, absorbed in me. Ye dharmaha upanishatsu santi, te mayi santu. So the entire subject matter of the Shastram become assimilated by me, become absorbed in me, ascertained by me. So may I have the vision of the Shastram transferred from the words of the Shastram through the words of the teaching, the words of the teacher to my mind. May the vision of the Shastram be assimilated, ascertained, and become transferred from the text to my mind, which will convert the ignorant mind into a wise mind, and which is what? Resolution of the mind, which is freedom. Therefore, ye dharmaha upanishatsu, may all those disciplines, the values, the way of life, you know, and also the vision which goes with the way of life, all just been revealed in the Shastram, become transferred to my mind. This is the prayer. I made a simple prayer. We'll see again, but anyway, we'll chant once the Shanti Pata. Om, I really mean now. Really, you all know very well how important it is for us to have. How important it is for us to have physical health and mental health and all the atmosphere at home also, because we cannot alienate everything and come to the Shastra class. Nothing can be alienated. Nothing can be avoided. Because for us, family, the people around, the friends and all our acquaintances, neighbors, everything must be in the society also. Must be pure atmosphere. We can pursue our knowledge. We can study our Shastram without any, you know, mental agitation. Otherwise, even a social disorder also will cause a lot of agitations. So we want everything to be in harmony so that we can be committed to the pursuit of the study and we can be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Om. Apyayantu mamangani vak pranas chakshushrotramatho balamindriyani cha sarvani sarvam brahma upanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranamastvanirakaranam me astu tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santu te mayi santu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. This Chandogya Upanishad is an Ashtadhyayini Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita is Ashtadhyayini, Ashtadasha Adhyayini. This is Ashtadhyayini. It means this Upanishad consists of 8 chapters. And as I said earlier, Pujya Swamiji unfolds from the 6th chapter only. Because only the last 3 chapters, 6th, 7th and 8th, 3 chapters alone present the actual Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the truth. So Jiva, Jagad, Ishvara, Swarupa, Aikya, Jnanam, the oneness of the truth of the individual, the microcosmic being, the truth of the total, the Ishvara, the macrocosmic being, and the truth of Ishvara, the Bhagavan, this oneness of the truth is revealed by the Upanishads, and that is happening only from in the 3 chapters, 6th, 7th and 8th. And the first 5 chapters of Chandogya Upanishad discuss only upasanani, different types of meditations. And these upasanani, so here, upasanani, actually the meditations are supposed to be part of the upasana kandaha, not the jnana kandaha. But why Upanishad happens to be the part of jnana kanda, which should be only involved in the very, it should do only 2 things. Removal of ignorance and the ignorance caused to samsara, only it should do. Upani sad. These two components of the word Upanishad itself conveys the meaning of the word Upanishad. Upani means what? Reveals the reality of the whole as the nearest self. Thereby, what does it do? Definitely, it destroys, it removes, helps to resolve ignorance and the ignorance caused to samsara, which is revealed by that word, last component, sad. Upani sad. So, Upanishad itself is a functional name of the Brahma Vidya. What does Brahma Vidya do? So, Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. Why Brahma Vidya is known as Upanishad? Because it does 2 things. What are the 2 functions? One is it reveals the reality of the whole, not as an object, but as the very truth of one's own self, as one's own nearest self. That is indicated by, that is what is indicated by the first component, Upani. And Shad actually is what now? Sadlr. Sad means like it destroys. It removes what? It destroys what? Ignorance by revealing the reality, nature of the reality as the nearest self. It destroys the ignorance of the truth and ignorance caused samsara also. Okay, these 2 functions. So Upanishad is a functional name for Brahma Vidya. So Upanishad actually means what? Knowledge of the reality. You should do only that. But Chandogya Upanishad, that only last 3 chapters does the job of the Upanishad, Brahma Vidya. Only last 3 chapters actually what? Reveal the nature of the reality as the nearest self. And also what? Thereby, it also helps us resolve ignorance and ignorance causes samsara. But why do we have first 5 chapters discussing the meditations? Why do we have this? So, Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, makes it very clear. See, the Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the truth, as the truth of one, knowledge of the truth of one's own self, is something very abstract, and it requires what? Definitely a highly qualified, prepared mind, assimilation of this vision, ascertainment of this vision, all that is here is only Brahma. We've been studying, been understanding, but assimilation, you know, is dependent on definitely a prepared mind. Mind must be really qualified. That's why from the beginning, whole Bhagavad Gita is elaborate. Repeatedly Krishna is teaching karma yoga, prayerfulness, worshipfulness. You know, why preparation of the mind is so important? Now, the attitude to entertain in doing actions, attitude we need to entertain in receiving the situations, looking at the situations, understanding other people's behavior, so in taking care of ourselves, not getting hurt, not being hurtful. So all these things, what? It requires a conscious, sensitive, effortful, now we have to live our lives like that. Which means, the preparation really is very difficult. Preparation involves definitely effort. That is why here, for the mind has to be, if the mind has to be really agitation-free mind and a stable mind, it needs to, for it mind to be disciplined, the disciplines are very important. Therefore, 5 chapters, Upanishad prescribes what? Meditations. 5 different chapters. Now the question comes, as Upanishad prescribes, here discusses the topic of meditation in 5 chapters. By studying these 5 chapters, are we going to practice these meditations? The next question comes. And I say, no, we are not going to practice these meditations. Why? Because we are not eligible, qualified for practicing these meditations. Why we cannot practice these meditations? Because we are not regular Vedic students. We have not studied, we have not done the Veda Adhyayanam. Not only we mean people of present day living any part of the world, even in India. Even people who are living in India, they cannot practice these meditations nowadays. Why? Because we are not proper Vedic students. In the sense, we have not done Veda Adhyayanam in terms of Veda Parayanam. We have not learned to do the Vedic chanting. Therefore, we have not memorized the Veda mantras. People who are given to the discipline of Veda Adhyayanam, the learning to chant the Veda mantras, definitely would have memorized all the Veda mantras. The Veda Adhyayanam itself is for memorizing the Veda mantras. Which means the entire Vedic text will be in your book. The entire text will be sitting in your mind. The entire Veda in the form of mantras, where will be? It will be in your mind. My memory. You can just, book is not outside. Book is in your mind. There is no textbook those days. So Veda Adhyayanam is important for later on, for Veda Mimamsa. Veda Mimamsa means analyzing, analytical study of the Veda mantras. Analyzing each mantra, understanding the meaning of the Veda mantras is called what? Veda Mimamsa. So, analytical study of the Veda mantras is called Veda Mimamsa. And when the teacher unfolds, expounds the meaning of the mantras, then the student must know which mantra he is doing from which section of which shaka, etc. Which means the student must have the book, all the mantras he must have memorized already. Because I told you already, those days they never had the textbook. And they had to memorize all the mantras beforehand, and which is like having the textbook ready in the class. Then the teacher can start unfolding the meanings of the mantras. Therefore, Veda Adhyayanam, Veda Mimamsa are the 2 aspects of the study. So, people who have done the Veda Adhyayanam, they would have memorized the mantras, and then they alone are eligible or qualified for practicing this Vedic meditations. Even without the Veda Adhyayanam also, nowadays we have got textbook printed, so we can do what now? We can do Veda Mimamsa. We can understand the analyze the meanings of the mantras, understand the meanings of the mantras, you know, and the mantras are unfolded in the class, that's okay. But here, with Veda Adhyayanam we have not done, so we have not memorized the mantras, so we are not qualified. The next question might come, if we have not memorized the Veda mantras, why should we not practice the Vedic meditations? The reason is, now I tell you, Upasanam, the meditation, involves three factors. What are those three factors? Upasakaha, the meditator. Upasya Devata, the object of meditation. And Alambanam, a symbol which stands for the object of meditation. There is no direct meditation upon the object of meditation. Upasakaha, Upasya Devata, or Ishwaraha, Sagunam Brahma. If it is Sagunam Brahma, Ishwaraha, Ishwaraha means what? The whole cosmos, which is manifestation of knowledge, is what? Sagunam Brahma, Ishwaraha. And the whole includes you, the meditator also. So how can you, the meditator, who is part of the whole, meditate upon the whole? So the whole being incomprehensible, the whole is so vast, inexplicable also. It is impossible for us to meditate upon the whole. Why? Because you yourself being part of the whole. One reason. Even if you meditate upon the devatas, devatas means what? Again, I'm going to tell you, devata or devaha means illumination of consciousness. Every manifestation of knowledge. See, every natural phenomenon is not looked upon as a mere bundle of energy in Vedic tradition. Every inert natural phenomenon also is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge. Even this chair, this wall, these lamps, these bulbs, even every nail here, I tell you, any insentient, inert thing also is looked upon as what? Manifestation of knowledge only. Illumination of consciousness. What is sun? Illumination of consciousness. What is moon? Illumination of consciousness. What are the stars? Illumination of consciousness. What is space? Illumination of consciousness. What is time? Illumination of consciousness. What is fire? Illumination of consciousness. Now what are these? Jungle. What's a jungle? Illumination of consciousness. What is one tree? Illumination of consciousness. What is the big forest? Illumination of consciousness. What is a mountain? Illumination of consciousness. What is a longest river? Illumination of consciousness. What is a small stream? Illumination of consciousness. Small tiny pond? Illumination of consciousness. A little flower? Illumination of consciousness. I tell you, there is nothing which is not the illumination of consciousness. What about the thunder, lightning? Illumination of consciousness. Everything here is illumination of consciousness. Therefore, every phenomenon, natural phenomenon, is what? Shakti. Every shakti, every power, illumination of consciousness. Therefore, we say what now? Devata. Every phenomenon is looked upon as Devata. Then, what about the power? Indriya Devata. We say every power is also what now? Subtle powers also? Every subtle power also is what? Illumination of consciousness only. All the totality of powers also is called what? Illumination of consciousness. So every natural phenomenon, is looked upon as illumination of consciousness, Devata. All the Devatas put together, all the natural phenomena put together is called what? Ishwaraha, the Lord. Is it clear now? Devatas put together is what? Ishwara. Totality of Devatas is Ishwaraha. Totality of powers is called Ishwaraha. Therefore, Devata, you understand, even if we say Devata Upasanam, meditation upon a given Devata. I meditate on the sun god. I meditate on the moon. I meditate on the stars. I meditate on the even air, the wind god. I meditate on lightning. Even if you say our knowledge of each phenomenon is definitely incomplete, we do not have a complete, thorough, total knowledge of any one single phenomenon. We do not know in much. That's why, because it's very incomprehensible. Even Devata is so big. Even the mountain. That is why here what we do, Devata is also incomprehensibly big. Of course, Ishvara is what? Incomprehensibly vast. Therefore, even the object of meditation is definitely Ishvara or Devata. Isn't it? Devata means what? Devata again is a symbol of Ishvara only. Being incomprehensible, we always have an alambanam, a substitute, representing deity, the altar, which stands for Ishvara. So, upasakaha, meditator, upasanam, meditation, upasya, devata, object of meditation, and upasana, alambanam, what now? An altar, a symbol of meditation, a symbol which represents, which stands for the actual object of meditation. Now it will be very clear for you. For us, the whole, in all our temples, we have so many murtis, and each murti is for us what? An alambanam for Bhagavan the whole. Understand, any murti is what? You can have any murti, any form, which says alambanam for Bhagavan the whole. And also in our pujarams we have this, an alambanam. And we have two types of alambanams. Also pratika alambanam, pratima alambanam. We have form with the limbs, we have form without limbs. We have sound form also. Not the form, sound form also. Like that we have different alambanani. Like that, in Vedic times, Vedic period, the alambanam, devatas were the objects of meditation. We also had Ishvara as object of meditation. The alambanam, Veda mantras were taken as alambanam for meditation. The words of the Veda mantras were taken as alambanam for meditation. For you to meditate upon Devata, meditate Devata on, invoke the Devata on some word of the Veda mantra, you must know. So without knowing the Veda mantras, without having memorized the mantras, without having thorough knowledge of the Veda, that words of the mantras, it is not practical, possible for us to meditate upon Veda mantras. Understand? They take the Veda mantras as the alambanam. The words of, sometimes they take the letters of the Veda mantras or words of the Veda mantras as alambanam. And there they invoke what? The invoke devatas or Ishvara. Therefore, it is difficult. That is why we do not practice these meditations. And here the next question comes, but we are going to read them, we are going to understand these meditations definitely. For you to have, it's very important for us to understand how Vedic meditations are. We need to understand them, so we are going to study them, but we will not practice them. We will understand the Vedic meditations taught in this Upanishad, but we will not practice these meditations. It is not for practice, only for understanding. And the next question comes, oh my God, if we do not practice these meditations, we will not have the benefit of, we'll lose the benefit of practicing these meditations. Thereby we won't be qualified for knowledge later on. That is also not necessary because we have substitute. Already we have what now? What we are doing, I explained to you, the substitute for this Vedic meditation also. Okay? For this Vedic meditation, there is a substitute which we are already doing. The substitute, the prescribed as a discipline for this Vedic meditation involves threefold actions, threefold karma. Kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma. These three are not discussed in the Upanishad, but Uja Swamiji always teaches us. Because we should not feel, oh my God, I am not practicing Vedic meditation. So, always there will be some prick will be there, isn't it? So, we have a substitute. Now, we understood why we are not eligible to practice these meditations. If we cannot meditate this, what is the substitute which has been prescribed for us? We have substitute is called what? Substitute also is upasanam involving threefold karma. Kayikam, physical activity. Vachikam, oral activity. Vachikam karma. Then manasam karma, also what? Mental activity. In manasam karma, mind alone is involved. In oral and physical activities, along with the physical body, along with this, the oral activity, there must be mind also. Isn't it? The mind is involved in all the three. Mental attention is totally expected, needed in all the threefold karma. So, the puja we do, when we perform a puja, definitely we are, there are a lot, too many things we do physically, lighting the lamp or showing the incense, doing naivedyam or ringing the bell, etc. we are doing. But if we, when we do physically what we are doing, the mind must be totally there in that action. Only then it is upasanam, substitute for upasanam. If we mechanically do it, mind goes elsewhere, then it is not upasanam. So physically you are doing something, doing namaskaram, whatever you are doing physically, we are going to the temple, walking to the temple, doing the pradakshinam, you are worshipping, you are bowing, you are anything. Physically, whatever you are doing during the puja, all that you do physically, your mind must be totally in what you are doing. Then that becomes what? Kayikam karma involved in the worship also is what? Substitute for upasana, meditation. Vedic meditation. Okay? Then, the vachikam karma, when you are doing parayanam, whether you chant Thirumarai, whether you chant Veda mantra or sing a bhajan, when you are chanting a mantra, the bhajan also, the mind must be totally in that. Only then it is a substitute for the vachikam karma, the oral activity, in terms of parayanam, chanting, singing, etc. Also, mind must be there totally, only then it becomes what? It's a upasanam. It's a substitute for Vedic meditation. Then Manasam Karma is, in Manasam Karma mental activity, the body is not involved, the speech is not involved, you're no sound, no physical movement, but mind alone is involved in Japaha. Manasa Japaha. That is why present day, whether you go to any Acharya, Sringeri Acharya, Kanchi Acharya, Puja Swamiji, any traditional Acharya, first thing they'll ask you to do Japa. Anybody will prescribe Japa present days because Manasam Karma, which is a substitute for Vedic meditation. Any one mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Hare Rama, any one mantra you repeatedly do, there you don't need to do anything orally, you don't need to, sound need not be there, physical movement need not be there, but still you are doing japam, which is equivalent to what now? Vedic meditation. But here we are very so comfortable, isn't it? The puja, which involves the physical activity, oral activity and mental activity, these three, in all the three, mind must be only in that. When you are doing this, the mind is what? Attention is only in Bhagavan. The object of your focus is Bhagavan in puja, whether it's a physical activity or a oral activity or mental activity, then it is a substitute for Vedic meditation for present day people. Understand why we do puja now. Okay, but mind must be there. If you do mechanically chant, mechanically sing, mechanically if you do something, namaskaram, pradakshinam, running, everything you do, it is not upasana. Some karma, that's all. It doesn't serve the purpose of meditation. If you do it, the puja also done with the focused attention to the, you know, to your ability becomes what serves the purpose of Vedic meditation, provided you are attentive. Is it clear now? Okay, now we have understood this much. Now there are these meditations. We have something called Sakama Upasanam and Nishkama Upasanam. What is Sakama Upasanam, Nishkama Upasanam? We should remember one thing, an important fact we should remember. Whether you practice, no meditation can ever remove your ignorance. How many ever days you practice meditation, it will not remove your ignorance. Meditation is a mental activity, mental action, and any action itself is product of ignorance. Therefore, any karma is ignorance friendly, not knowledge friendly. Okay? For meditation will not remove your ignorance. Understand? Therefore, meditation, that is the limitation of meditation. But what can meditation do then? Meditation is an amazing discipline. It contributes tremendously for steadying the unsteady, unstable mind. It makes the unsteady mind a steady mind, agitated mind, agitation-free, quiet mind, a restless mind, a calm mind. This is the great advantage. Therefore, with this understanding, we have to now know what is Sakama Upasanam, what is Nishkama Upasanam. If a person practices meditation with the Purushartha Nischaya, having Purushartha Nischaya, without any doubt about moksha being the end, with the total commitment to the study of the Shastram, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, for the knowledge of the truth, knowing attainment of knowledge as the only means of moksha, knowing knowledge as the ultimate goal, if a person is given to study of the Shastram, he is doing Shravanam, along with the Shravanam, living a life of Karma Yoga, if a person practices meditation, that meditation what? Produces twofold result. No, drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam also. Which means what? Actually, then this becomes a nishkama upasanam. Even if he is not interested in the material ends which one can attain, enjoy as a result of practicing meditation, still he will have both material results or ends also. As a result of practicing meditation, he will enjoy the material ends also. At the same time, he will be qualified for knowledge. Therefore, he says meditation is called what? Nishkama Upasanam. If a person practices this meditation without having Purusharth Nischaya or without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, without even knowing the connection between knowledge and the truth, without being given to the study of the Shastram, without being given to the study of the Shastra means what? Without doing Shravanam of the Upanishads, unfoldment of the Shastram, without living a life Karma Yoga also, or living a life Karma Yoga, if a person performs, practices this meditation for material ends, which are enjoined, you know, which go with the practice of meditations, then his meditation is called Sakama Upasanam. For a person who practices meditation as a Sakama Upasanam, he will definitely enjoy the benefits of the practice of meditation in terms of Artha Kama Dharma. Whereas the person who practices this meditation as Nishkama Upasanam for Jnanam and Moksha, then definitely along with his material ends, he will also become what? Qualified for knowledge. Then meditation serves its purpose as a preparatory discipline for knowledge. This is, you understood. Now, again, meditations are of two types. One is karmanga bhuta upasanam. You may think why I am talking all these things. Part of this, in the introduction, I had to do so much to make you understand. Karma anga bhuta upasanam. Karmanga bhuta upasanam means what? The meditation which is practiced not independently, but as a part of the performance of a ritual. Which means that you perform a Vedic ritual, and the Vedic ritual is the main action there. Okay? Vedic is the main action there, main activity. And that for that ritual to be complete as a part of the performance of a ritual, there is also meditation prescribed. Some meditations are prescribed in the Veda to be practiced as part of the performance of a ritual. The ritual performance of ritual becomes complete and more effective, highly yielding, contributive only if that ritual, only if a person concludes that ritual also by practicing meditation. Or he begins the meditation. There, the meditation is not independently practiced. It is practiced, it is followed as a part of the performance of a ritual. Which means, angi, the main thing becomes the ritual. Meditation is the anga, the part of that ritual. The part, angi, anga. If that such a meditation, which has to be practiced along with the, as a part of the performance of a ritual, is practiced independently, it will not be effective, it will not be productive. And this practicing meditation as part of the ritual will make the ritual more efficacious, highly effective, and also it will enhance, you know, the results, the benefit of the meditation also. It improve. That is karma anga bhuta upasanam. Karma anga bhuta upasanam. Then, what's other type of meditation? Don't get confused with all those things, huh? Why we call upasanam as sakama upasanam, nishkama upasanam, you understood. Now I am talking about karmanga bhuta upasanam. Now swatantra upasanam. What is swatantra upasanam? Swatantra upasana means the upasanam, or you can call it angi upasanam, means the meditation is practiced independently, separately, with not as a part of any ritual, as a pure mental activity you practice meditation. Understand? This is called what? Angi upasanam or swatantra upasanam. You don't need to perform any physical ritual, anything. Simply practice meditation. We have two types of meditations there. And this upasanam also, as I said, any upasanam will not remove your ignorance. It's all for information, I'm telling you. And then, this upasanam, swatantra upasanam, again, is of two types. One is sampad upasanam and other one is pratika upasanam or adhyasa upasanam. Sampad upasanam, adhyasa upasanam. Okay, or pratika upasanam. The two names are there. Too many names, we get confused. Now let us understand what is pratika upasanam. What is sampad upasanam and what is pratika upasanam? See, when I practice meditation, there is an alambanam, symbol. The symbol, I am not meditating upon the symbol actually, I am meditating upon the object of meditation is something else, and that is invoked here, isn't it? Then the symbol, what happens? The symbol itself becomes the very object of meditation. The symbol itself becomes an object of meditation. It becomes as revered as the very object of meditation. I'll give the example now. What is upasanam? It's a simple definition in Sanskritam. Utkrishta vastuni, nikrishta vastuni, utkrishta vastunaha aropaha. Utkrishta vastunaha aropaha. Something superior, something great, something exalted, something very big is invoked. Now, waited upon something very, very ordinary. Nikrishta vastu. Nikrishta vastu means what? Something very ordinary, simple one. A piece of stone. A piece of stone, that is nikrishta vastu. In that nikrishta vastu, aropaha, you superimpose what? Something utkrishta. Utkrishta vastunaha aropaha. My God, Ishvara, the whole is invoked where? Superimposed upon a small piece of rock, stone. Before installation, it is a piece of rock, stone. After installation, Bhagavan, Ishvara for us. That is why Murti Pratishtha for us is such a big ritual. Lot of work in the temple. Because you convert by looking at it. It's attitude, isn't it? Utkrishta vastunaha aropaha nikrishta vastuni. Something very ordinary. Ordinary, just take, you know, they take 100 gram, 50 grams of turmeric powder, put them together, sprinkle it with water, make a small cube of it, and we called Ganapati, Lord of Laws. Isn't it? Then initially, it's only a piece of the cube of turmeric powder, but later becomes what? It is revered as what? We want revered as Ganesha, the Lord. Which means, the alambanam, nikrishta vastu, on which the something utkushta, the Bhagavan is invoked, that itself becomes what now? As important, as revered, as the Lord, it becomes what now? We call it Pratika Upasanam or Adhyasa Upasanam. In any temple, that's what happens. First, we are worship. See, we meditate upon the Lord, we worship the Lord, and this Murti is symbol for the Lord first. And later on, the Murti itself becomes what? The Lord. Swamiji's example is there. First, we want soap, isn't it? Then you start using Lux. Swamiji's, those days, Lux was very popular. So now Lux is soap. And that's, soap is what you, Lux becomes, Lux is soap means what? This is Swamiji's example, amazing. I don't think anybody else can use examples like Swamiji. Lux is soap for us. Soap is not only the Lux, but Lux is soap. Like that, Bhagavan is not this one piece of small installed in the temple, but for us every Murti is what? Bhagavan. This is called what now? Adhyasa Upasanam or Pratika Upasanam. Another one called Sampadupasanam. Now what is Sampadupasanam? The Alambanam does not become the object of meditation. The substitute does not become the object of meditation. Substitute continues to be substitute, but substitute for something else. Isn't it? Suppose in India, when we do the puja, we offer so many things to Bhagavan. Sometimes I want to offer lots of diamonds, gold. I'm a pauper myself. How can I offer Bhagavan gold and diamonds and all those things? So what I do, I have substitute. I take some rice smeared with oil, mixed with the turmeric, I make this called akshata. Akshata means what? Akshata means rice. Rice smeared with, first put a drop of oil, ghee, it becomes oily, na? Then put turmeric powder, mix it. It's called akshata. Unbroken rice with unbroken edges. It's called akshata. And then in the puja, we say what? For all the diamond jewelry I want to offer for you, to you, Lord. Lord doesn't ask. It's my own buddhi. My problem, isn't it? So I offer this akshata, a substitute for all the diamonds. I think of John Lewis whole. John Lewis is not mine. I offer to Bhagavan. How? John Lewis, now Arpanartham, Akshatan Samarpayami. Oh Lord, I want to offer the whole of IKEA. All over the world, okay, not only one shop in this garden. How? Akshatan Samarpayami. Take few Akshata. In my mind, I think a substitute for what all I want to offer. I offer one small banana, one plum, and then a strawberry and all those things. What is practical possible? Afterwards, what I do? Whatever I want to offer, I offer instead of that, I offer akshata. In that akshata is what now? It's a substitute for what all I want to offer. But akshata does not become diamond or IKEA or John Lewis. Isn't it? Akshata is akshata only. Therefore, if the substitute, the alambanam for upasya devata does not become the upasya devata, does not become as revered as the devata, it is called sampadupasanam. If the alambanam itself become the revered as the upasya devata, it is pratika upasanam or adhyasa upasanam. Is it clear? Like this, we have these two types of Upasanams. And here, the very first chapter of Chandogya Upanishad is going to present what? Pratika Upasanam. That's why I want to tell you this much. I have to start that Chandogya Upanishad now. So, it's only introduction to Chandogya Upanishad. Okay? Chandogya Upanishad, we are going to begin the first chapter. And here, what is the Upasanam prescribed in this first chapter here? We have no other Sampadupasanam, only Pratika Upasanam. Pratika Upasanam means what? The Alambanam, the symbol of meditation, becomes the very object of meditation, is revered as the very object of meditation. Is it clear? This is the Pratika Upasanam or Adhyasa Upasanam. And we should remember very well, we are not going to practice these Upasanams, but we are going to understand these Upasanams. It will really help us appreciate the Vedic tradition, everything. So by the time we go to the 6th chapter, it will enhance our understanding of the lot of things in Ishvara, everything. Is it time for break? Okay, you have your tea and come back and we will start the Upanishad.